My name is Kendall Rasnick.
Well, in our last program, we were looking at the idea that God is eternal and self-existent. We're going to continue that thought and spend a little bit more time on that in this particular program. We kind of rushed through a little bit of the main points, so we want to go back and digest those heavy, thoughtful points again in this particular program, and then we're going to introduce some new material about the idea of life coming from God. God is eternal. That was so easy and clear to understand from the Scripture, that God's existence has no beginning. When I say eternal, what we're really saying is God always was, God always is, and God always will be. And the Scriptures refer to God as being eternal. We also saw that God was self-existent. That simply meant that since God is eternal, He did not need anyone to create Him or cause Him to be. He's self-existent. No one created Him. No one brought Him into existence. He has just always been there. We also looked at the idea that God is sometimes called the first cause uncaused. First cause because He is the cause of all the effects we see. Who brought the universe into existence? Who brought life onto the planet? That would be God. He is the first cause. All the effects we see in nature were caused by God. We saw in the book of John, chapter 1, that all things were created by God, and without God, not anything was created in the universe. We also saw that God is uncaused. That simply means no one brought Him into existence. No one caused God to be. He simply is. He is eternal, and He needed no one to create Him or cause Him to be. Now, a very, very important question that we looked at very briefly last program was the three possibilities for the existence of the universe. And again, don't get thrown off by this question, thinking that we're starting a science class when it's supposed to be a Bible study. This is a very, very important question. When we look at our origin, when we look at where the universe came from, if we figure out how we got here, it can really affect our worldview and really affect how we decide to live in our life. We'll talk more about that probably in just a minute, but let's look at the three possibilities for the existence of the universe once again. The first possibility that's proposed is that the idea of the universe being eternal. In other words, we don't have to explain why the universe is here or how it got here. We simply explain it's eternal. You don't have to explain how it got here. It's just always been here. It is here, and it always will be here. Well, how does that possibility match the evidence that we see around us? It used to be taught in school that this is the case. The universe is just eternal. But once science started investigating this matter a little further, it turned out that that doesn't really seem to match the evidence. We see things such as the second law of thermodynamics in science. Now, those are big words, but what that really means is things are wearing out. The usable energy in this universe is running out. We might say it's kind of like a clock. If you wind a clock up and wind it tightly and then start it, it will begin to wind down and down and down. And eventually, it will just stop and run out. Well, science has looked and peered at the universe, and it seems that that is exactly what's happening in the universe. The universe is winding down like a clock. Well, if we're in the winding down process right now, doesn't that mean that at one time in the past, it used to be wound up? And so that means the universe actually did have a beginning. The first possibility for the existence of the universe, that it is eternal, doesn't seem to match the evidence. So we're going to toss that one out. We go on to the next two possibilities for the existence of the universe, both of which require the universe to have a beginning. If the universe did have a beginning, how did it begin? Our first possibility says, well, maybe the universe began, but before it, there was absolutely, positively nothing. There was nothing, and then all of a sudden, the universe exploded in what we call a Big Bang. and it spread out all across this area and formed into planets, and eventually life started, and here we are. Some people even mistakenly say, let's talk about the Big Bang Theory, and it started with this dot of matter, and the matter spun and spun, and it was rotating around, but that's not even right. You can't start with a dot. You can't start with a very, very small dot without asking the same question. Where did the dot come from? Was the dot eternal, or did it come from nothing? You see, if you believe that the universe exploded in a Big Bang and that there was no God involved, you have to believe that before the universe, there was absolutely, positively nothing. We know very clearly from looking at life, when you start with nothing, you get nothing. Just try going into a bank and asking to withdraw $1 million or whatever currency you use. They're going to look at you and say, well, how much did you put into the bank? And if you say absolutely, positively nothing, then guess what? That's what you're going to be able to withdraw. Absolutely, positively nothing. Because what do you get when you start with nothing? You get nothing. So it is really illogical. It's unscientific to say that if I start with nothing, I can have it explode and become an entire universe. It doesn't make sense. So in reality, we have to take the second possibility for the existence of the universe and throw that one out too. It's just not logical, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to say that there was absolutely nothing and then it exploded and now here we are. So that only leaves the third option. You don't have to like it. You don't even have to accept it in your mind if you don't want to. But that's where the evidence leads, and that's where the truth seems to lie. The universe did have a beginning in the third option, but instead of starting from nothing, something or someone was here before the universe began in order to cause it to exist. We might call that someone who started the universe God. This really makes the most sense because it matches our evidence from science that the universe had a beginning, and it also matches logic. In order to have something, you have to start with something. In order to have life, you have to start with life. But if the universe is not eternal, then something else must be eternal in order to start the universe and start life and be here to cause the universe to begin. What could be eternal? Who could it be? In order to get the universe to be the effect, in order to cause the universe to come into existence, there couldn't have been nothing before this. Therefore, there had to have been someone who was here and who was self-existent. Someone who didn't need anyone to bring them into existence. Someone who was eternal and was always here. Who could that be? Well, when we look at the Bible, we see that Jehovah God is described as eternal. Jehovah God is described as self-existent. This matches the God that we're looking for. We can use our own logic, we can use scientific reason, and we say if we're going to find whoever created this universe, because there seems to be evidence that there's a creator, that creator must need to be eternal. That creator needs to be self-existent. And isn't it interesting that when we go to look at the God of the Bible, that is how he is described, eternal and always here. And of course, therefore, he is self-existent. No one had to bring him into existence because he always was. He never had a beginning. He is eternal. Other gods that men may create may describe their beginning. Oh, this god was born from the sun, or this god was born from these two other gods. But when we look at the God of the Bible, it matches the type of God that we're looking for to match our logic and our science. And since God is eternal and the cause of the universe, all life comes from that God. All life here on earth comes from that God. Notice Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. There it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. The law of biogenesis states that in order to get life, you have to start with life. Well, how did we get life here in the universe? We must have to start with life. We couldn't have started with absolutely nothing. We must have started with life. But we can't go back millions or billions of years and find there was no life and now we have life. So therefore, there must have been life before the universe in order to give life to it. And an eternal God who can give life and breath to all things would match that logic. And that's the God we read about in the Bible. Take a look at Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, verse 36, the last verse of the chapter says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." It was through God that we came to be. Now here's an interesting thought. If God is the source of all that lives, he is the source of life, and all life comes from God, and God is eternal, wouldn't it then make sense that he is the author of eternal life? If we look for eternal life, if we look for a place for salvation and immortality after this life, shouldn't we turn to the God who gave us life in the first place and who is eternal himself? John 3:16 is a verse that many people know about. Let's look at that one right now. John chapter 3 and verse 16. There it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life." Everlasting life means life that doesn't run out. It's everlasting. It is a life that continues on and on and on. Now you know and I know that this life is just not going to last forever here on this earth. The Bible tells us that in that it's going to say the elements of this earth are going to be burned up with a fervent heat. And therefore, where are we going to go afterwards? Where are we going to live? We look to God to have eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 5, let's read verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." We look to God who is eternal for eternal life. We look to Jesus Christ for salvation. And since Jesus is God, he is the author, or the word here means the cause, of eternal salvation. Jesus will give eternal salvation, but to everyone? No, to those that obey him.